Welcome to the old school meeting of Overeaters Anonymous, featuring speakers with long-term abstinence. This meeting was born online, and it's going to stay that way. That means you can attend live on Tuesday evenings at 6:30 Pacific. And now, our speaker.
I'm going to share with you what I used to be like, what happened, and what I'm like now, and how and why I stay abstinent today. I think I'm going to tackle that one first, but I'll tell you a little bit. I've been in Overeaters Anonymous for a little over 40 years. I've been abstaining currently. Just July, I had an absent birthday, and I'm abstaining for 38 years. And none of that happens in a vacuum. I am here because of the program about Overeaters Anonymous and a couple other programs that help support this one. And how I stay abstinent is in how it works. You know, I take these steps. Basically, I think how I stay abstinent is being willing to follow directions, being willing to recover somebody else's way, being willing to do what's suggested. That seems to work for other people, and it certainly has worked for me. And why I stay abstinent, because as a compulsive overeater, my choices are limited. It's insanity, death, and the death is not a good one, or this program. Those are my choices. I believe as a real compulsive overeater, I'm gonna die, I'm gonna go nuts, or I'm gonna abstain. I don't like the other two choices today, so I'm picking abstain. So what it was like for me was, I was an obese baby, and I was a fat kid, and I regularly had school nurses telling me, honey, don't you think you should lose some weight? And my first diet was at the age of 5, and I grew up in the period, I mean, my whole family, we were dieting, we all had a weight problem. Even the dog got ice cream after dinner, so it got diabetes. I mean, it just wasn't, the whole thing was a mess. And, you know, I grew up in the days of Sego and Metrical and Fresca, you know, before NutraSweet and all those just god-awful things people would do to try and lose weight. And I made up a lot of my own diets. Like I would eat a skinless chicken breast, but I'd put barbecue sauce on it and I'd have a regular Coke. Yeah. So, you know, I came up with all kinds of weird diets, starving, and this is long before I hit OA. Trying to, knowing that it was just this weird thing. And I remember telling a boyfriend of mine in high school, if you've ever seen that old movie with Victor Mature and he plays Samson, and at the very end, they tie his arms to like two sets of wild horses and he's ripped apart, right? Well, it doesn't, but anyway, that's how I felt. On one arm, I had this huge, tremendous desire to be pretty, to be thin, to look good, you know, because I thought that's what it was all about. I was raised on Hollywood movies and television, and it was real clear from without it being totally spoken that thin was the right way to go. Problem is in my family, none of us went that way, because on this other arm were all these horses dragging me towards you know, Winchell's Donuts and Barrow's Pizza and Farrell's Ice Cream Parlor and you name it, okay? And so I was constantly torn, but I can tell you which horses won every time before OA. And those were the horses that were dragging me towards the food. That was the illness taking me for the food because I needed something to cope. I mean, I was a little kid and I remember hearing a AA speaker say, you know, she started drinking at 5 and I thought, you can do that? I mean, I really could have used a drink at 5 years old. I just didn't know I could take one. But what I did know I could take was candy and any kind of, you know, salty thing, you know, the stuff, the junk food. I mean, I was raised on it. My lunch in elementary school was basically a bologna sandwich, Fritos, and a ding dong. Switch out Twinkie or whatever you want for that. I mean, it was not exactly what you'd call nutritionally balanced, but that's the way I ate, and I didn't know any better. I mean, disposal was in pristine condition because nothing went down it. You know, we just ate what was left. The only thing that ever went bad in my house was lettuce, period. That was it. So, you know, I grow up in a, you know, this atmosphere, this, like I heard this joke where, you know, two fish are in the ocean and one swims by and goes, "Isn't the water lovely today?" And both look at each other and they go, "What's water?" I was surrounded with alcoholism. I was surrounded with compulsive overeating. And it wasn't until I came to this program that I learned that when they say dysfunctional, they use DYS. That's a medical term meaning functions, but with pain. Like if you have dysuria, that means you can pee, but it hurts a lot. Okay, well, my family was that way. We functioned, but with pain, a lot of it. And the only way I knew to deal with that was to run away. I would either run and hide or I would eat. And those were the things I did. So consequently, my weight was always on the high side. And I kept putting myself on diets and my weight chart, you want your portfolio chart to look like this, where I would go down and up and then down and then up higher and then down and then up higher. And that's just always gaining all the weight back and more. And always, every time I was on a diet, I was always thinking about what I was going to eat when I got off the diet. That never occurred to me that that might be a problem. It just was, that's just the way it was. And I grew up on watching Hollywood movies. So I thought, you know, so it looked like, you know, the beautiful gal gets the guy. The problem was that what they didn't say was what to do with the feelings inside. And it wasn't until I did, thank God for the 12 steps in inventory and finding out, I grew up thinking or feeling like that I was broken and should never have been put on the showroom floor. And somehow I ended up on this planet and I don't know how to function, you know, and I never got the memo. I always felt like, I never got the email. I never got the information on how you do life, how to do life. And then I got bad, you know, my grades were good. You know, I looked fairly okay on the outside, like I'm functioning, but inside I was definitely convinced I was crazy because I had feelings and I was told that those weren't right. So what do you do with them? You shove them deep inside. And I didn't know what to do with the feelings. And I just didn't know what to do. So I had a vivid imagination. I made up a lot of stuff. I made up a lot of stories. I was a little kid, an artist. And so I was always doing things. And that's how I coped. I coped with food and I coped with art. And anyway, when I got into high school is when things started to unravel. When I came into OA, I was told that anybody can pickle cucumbers. You can make pickles, okay? There's recipes galore all over the place. But nobody knows how to turn a pickle into a cucumber. Nobody, not NASA, not MIT, nobody knows how to take a pickle and turn it back into a cucumber. And I was told, Julie, you've been pickled. You know, I'm sorry, but they would take me to coffee after the meeting and go, sorry, but, you know, this is how it is. You know, I want the magic. I wanted something. I want to remove it surgically, hopefully. And instead it was just, no, we got these 12 steps and you get a sponsor, you get a plan of eating and you go to meetings. And it was like, okay. So, you know, I was really, really, I was just grateful you didn't weigh me. And I was grateful and I was desperate. And I think, you know, if you read our OA 12 and 12, it tells all the principles behind the steps. And on step one, it says honesty. Yeah, and I really think it should be beat to shit. I mean, desperate. I mean, I'll do whatever, you know. And that's the principle behind step one for me. So I get in here and I start taking these steps and I start losing weight. And thank you. And then what happened was, I somehow got it, you know, as I stopped eating. I don't know if you guys have noticed this, but I had a lot of anger come up. I mean, a lot of anger from years and years and years of stuffing that down. And it scared the crud out of me. Because in my house, you're not lovable if you're angry. So what do I do? But I just kept coming. And I went to an OA retreat trying to figure this out. And I was at this point, I came in around 172. I was 5'3". I got down to 98 pounds in this program because I thought if I just got thin enough, and I didn't think this consciously, this was somewhere back here, that if I got thin enough, I'd feel like a person who worked the steps felt. You know, I'd have that peace of mind. People were joyous. I would go to the Ohio Street meeting on Saturday morning, you know, and it's kind of like when UCLA was at their height with the basketball. That meeting had like Richie and all these other people in there, and it was just like, woo, you know, great meeting. And I kept coming thinking it would rub off, and it didn't because I didn't work any steps. And I even went to a retreat with Natalie and Bill B, and I found out that my God had turned into a food scale, and there was no food scale there. So I began compulsively overeating at an OA retreat. Made the other retreat. It's a little nervous, but it was okay. They lock up the food between meals, I found out. And when I got back, I was in a meeting, and I just told people, I said, I'm miserable eating. I'm miserable not eating, so I might as well eat. Now, I had heard you don't take that first compulsive bite, and I had heard, you know, that it gets worse, never better. But I decided to go for a binge, and I'd come right back. I swear I would. Well, that happened 2.5 years later. I put on 16 pounds in 6 days, and I went from 98 to 200 in less than 3 months. And I did this in the summertime, like right about now, when it's really hot. And I gained so much weight that I was working in an amusement park, and they have these uniforms, and I was at the top size uniform and it still wouldn't zip up. So I had to wear a black sweater in 100-degree heat in the summertime. And for 2.5 years, I tried to get abstinent. And my first abstinent Thanksgiving was because I was sitting directly across the table from my sponsor while Rod Serling was in the background doing the Twilight Zone. And let me tell you, if you're detoxing off of sugar, I was right there with Rod, man. I was just lunatic. And it was crazy. And for the next 2.5 years, I tried to get abstinent. And I think it kind of, sometimes it helps. It helped me to get a sponsor that scared me slightly. I mean, she was a nice lady and all, but you know when they can look right into you and it's like, meh. So I got a sponsor. And eventually what happened was after binging, abstaining, I had enough 30-day chips to ring this room. I went to an AA meeting because I was too ashamed to go to an OA meeting. And people thought I'd gotten drunk. I said, no, I just ate a pound of butter and a loaf of bread, you know, snack. And, but I was a mess. And somebody told me something I'd never heard before in my life. I'd never said this to myself. I'd never heard anybody say it to me, which was, why don't you try being kind to Julie for a change? See, I eat thinking I am going to make myself feel better. And what I am is I'm beating myself up with food. There are certain foods where I beat myself up. I don't stop when I'm full. I stop when it's gone. I eat like a wino drinks. I eat till I pass out. I come to, I eat more. There are certain foods and eating behaviors I can't do today. And when she said that, I thought, okay, I'll try it one more time. And that one more time, a day at a time, has turned into 38 years. How did that happen? It happened by going to meetings, sometimes 4 meetings in a day. And that was before Zoom, where I was like driving a lot. And one day I had to spend it in the direct eye contact of my sponsor, or I knew I'd eat. But meetings, telephone calls, I would call 13, 14, 15 people in a row. The first few got a lot of crying and a lot of F words. By the time I got to number 15, I had generally calmed down enough where you could actually tell the sentences I was saying, and I didn't have to eat. And most of all, what always given me, I was at a meeting in Lakewood, and this young lady who was clearly developmentally disabled got up at the end of the meeting and said, I went to another weight loss program and they said if I lost weight, they'd give me a charm bracelet. She said, and I came here and you said if I don't eat, you can help me, Heaven God. I think I'll come here. And that's precisely what you guys have done for me. You've given me or allowed me to search for and find, which has helped me abstain, go back to school. I didn't even collect my diploma the first time. I was so ashamed of my academic deportment that I just said, mail it to me. And this time I graduated with honors because I had a higher power in this program and you people. And I went to meetings. I was told you can do law school on 3 meetings a week. I did art school on 3 meetings a week. I mean, you know, yeah. Yeah, I got a master's degree in painting. So, but you know what? I'm an artist today and it served me well. I spent 20 years teaching art to adults with developmental disabilities in Oakland. It was the best job I ever had. And I'm still an artist and I'm still painting. And that's because of OA, because without that, all I do is sit and think about what I'm going to do and then pass out and come to and hate myself and eat more. OA has given me a much bigger life. And how much time do I have left?
You have 2 minutes and 34 seconds.
Okay, great. I'm going to read something. Don't worry. It's nothing creepy. Okay. But I like this because it kind of sums up. It says, nothing is more practical than finding a higher power. That is falling in love in a quite absolute final way. What you are in love with, what seizes your imagination, will affect everything. It will decide what will get you out of bed in the morning, what you will do with your evenings, how you spend your weekends, what you read, who you know, what breaks your heart, and what amazes you with joy and gratitude. Fall in love, stay in love, and it will decide everything. And what I do is I put OA in there. If you're a compulsive overeater, nothing is more practical than finding OA and falling in love with OA in a quiet, quiet, absolute, final way. Because when I'm in love with OA, it's what seizes my imagination and it affects everything. It decides, this program has decided what will get me out of bed in the morning, mostly breakfast, but yeah. What I do with my evenings, meetings, how I spend my time with sponsees, weekends, what I read, a big book in OA literature, who I know, a whole lot of crazy people I love dearly, what breaks my heart, you know, when we bury people here, and what amazes me with joy and gratitude when I hear somebody who couldn't get abstinent and gets abstinent. So it says, fall in love, stay in love, and it will decide everything. I highly recommend it. Thank you.